Most of us feel frustration when we see how our tax dollars are spent, especially when government funds things that oppose a biblical worldview. But what if paying taxes could actually be an act of obedience to God? Jesus says, "Render to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's," calling us to both obedience and courageous advocacy. In this devotional, we'll explore how to honor God with our pocketbook while pushing back against policies that fund evil instead of protecting the innocent. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That is fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. I hope you are enjoying this government series called Governing Authorities. And if you are, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you are a financial partner with FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. We are laying a foundation of monthly support so that FPIW and FPIW Action can be strong and have a biblical voice in the public square all across our state. So jump on in there at $5, $10, $100 a month, whatever it might be. We would love your financial support. All right, so we are in Romans chapter 13, and we have been talking about government. And it's been interesting, the comments that I get back, the things that people say. It's been fun to interact with you as we look at the scriptures and look at government. So let's read our scriptures for today. "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinances of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake." Now, I pointed out this out each and every time, I think, each and every time, but we still have people who are listening that are confused. If the government is pushing you towards righteousness, you need to obey. If the government is pushing you to things that are contrary to the word of God, then you must obey God rather than men. That's just the plumb line. This context is all that the government is doing something towards righteousness. "For because of you," where was I at? "For because of this, you also pay taxes." Okay, so now we're going to get down to our pocketbook. Taxes. "For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to the very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor is due." So we are down to paying taxes. And this is where the rubber meets the road, where our pocketbook gets involved in the government. Now, what should the government be funding? Primarily, they should fund punishing evil, our justice system, right? And protecting the innocent, our policing, and those kind of things. That should be the primary focus of our government's funds. And yet, if you look at the biggest bucket in Washington state, I think it's education. What is wrong with that? Well, the problem is if when government educates our kids, then we have indoctrination. The responsibility of education is both the family responsibility and the church's responsibility to educate their own children. And so taxing people to have that education isn't what we should be doing. Now, I get it. I get that we've brought a lot of people out of poverty because we have educated them to like a high school level system. I also get that that system, to whatever degree and whenever the transition point was, it was done in what we call good faith judgment. In other words, we negotiated in good faith that the people who are educating our kids held our same values. And yes, there are Christian educators in our public school systems. Yes, there are Christian administrators. Yes, there are those who represent our values. But we need them to be bold and courageous and step up and say enough is enough with this this ideology that is contrary to the word of God. So there have been those in the past who say government is spending money on things that I don't believe it should, and they've taken a stand, and they have been incarcerated for that. I'm not suggesting that you do that. I'm suggesting that we change policy so that the policy reflects the heart of the people, and the people's heart is that we would value and honor the things of God. So he talks about paying taxes to whom tax is due. So let's look at our big idea for the day. Is paying taxes, or paying taxes can be an act of worship when we see God behind the system. I know you probably never have thought about that. But when God is honoring and glorifying, when government is honoring and glorifying God, then those taxes go out in such a way that we are honoring and glorifying God. Do you ever think of paying taxes as something you do with God in view? And I would say my main struggle with this is that when the government funds things that God has not entrusted to them, I have a moral dilemma. I mean, I still pay it as of this point. I'm thinking, why do I do that? But when government is funding abortion, it drives me nuts because it's contrary to the word of God. When the government is funding indoctrination of our kids to a communist socialist mentality, it drives me nuts. When the government isn't fulfilling their obligation to protect us, it drives me nuts. And so I get it. I get the tension. I get, how do we handle this? I understand that these things can be difficult at times. But let's look what Jesus says about paying taxes. So let's go to Matthew chapter 22. We'll start in the 15th verse. Then the Pharisees went and plotted together how they might trap Jesus in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth, and defer to no one, for you are not partial in anything. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not?" Now, the times of Jesus, Rome was a government system, and they did not operate under what would be honoring and glorifying to God. So Jesus' answer is very important. But Jesus perceived their malice and said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax." And they brought him a denarius. And he said, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "It's Caesar's." Then he said, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And hearing this, they were amazed, and leaving him, they went away. So when we look at this money behind me, whose image is on there? It's past presidents, past officials in the United States. And I will just say, render to Caesar, render to the U.S. what is the U.S.'s, and render to God what is God's. And then I would also say, then advocate for laws and policies that fund the things that we believe, the values that we believe. I think that's the proper understanding of Scripture, is that we advocate for those things, for moral standards, I believe that should come from the Word of God and defined by the Word of God. And then that would then in turn be what we fund, and that we should elect people who represent those values. So it is perfectly fine to elect people who say, "I'm not going to fund abortion. I'm not going to fund an indoctrination system. I want reading, writing, and arithmetic to be the primary things our kids learn, not all this other sexual identity, this diversity, equity, and inclusion, not all this other things that we see out there in the world. I want my government to fund the things that embrace my values." Perfectly okay, because we're funding someone's values and we're funding somebody's worldview, whether it be biblical or secular. Somewhere along the line, we're doing that. And I love Jesus' answer, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to the God what is God's. So make sure you're tithing as well, just since we're talking about the pocketbook. A tenth of everything that you make belongs to God. Make sure that you're giving that over to God. And it's not don't do it grudgingly or with a sharp twist of the arm, but do it with a joyful heart. Pay your taxes with a joyful heart. Give your tithe with a joyful heart. Now, you may ask, are there any percentages on this? I can tell you that in Scripture, if you go back to the Old Testament and study it, it typically was a tithe to the church, 10% to the church, and 10% to the government. If you look at how that plays out in the Old Testament, now the 10% to the church or to those who are ministers of God through the Word of God is very clear. you know, and the other percentage is I don't think God ever intended for 40, 50, 30% whatever be taken by the government for that. But if the government got back to just doing what they're supposed to, punishing evil and protecting the innocent, that government would cost a lot less. So let's look at our applications to today. How, when you pay taxes, do you feel anger? Do you feel gratitude? What do you feel when you pay taxes? How can you honor God in how you talk about taxes and government spending? And are you financial? Are your financial practices, including taxes, transparent, honest before God? Some things to think about today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that our government would reflect a biblical worldview on how they spend their money. Lord, we pray that that money that is really our money, we the people's money, will be used to protect the innocent and to punish evil, and that everything outside of that would begin to be defunded, and all the things that are fraud would begin to be defunded, and we would get back to a very limited, simple government once again. So go before us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.